So today is the 15th of February, 2018. We are the 30th of Shvat, which happens to be Rosh Chodesh Adar, the first Adar of this year. It's also the only Adar of this year. Next year there will be, because I know Yeshua's bar mitzvah ends up in the middle of the summer.
No, I think it was only one last year.
Yeah,
it was 3 years ago.
Otherwise,
it would be 2 years ago, so it would be a 2 year skip, and then next year there is one. Okay, so anyways, so we are taking over in the middle in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So the Ramban reiterates again here in Pasuk when you go to the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give you as an inheritance. So Rashi, so the Ramban jumps in. And I'll give you negat saras beveis eretz achuzaschem. So the Ramban here jumps in and says, "Lirmos kiyat Hashem tasosos." Right, this is to hint that Hashem is doing it. The lo tevakal. This isn't considered normal at all. Kamosha parashi, as I already explained. So he says, "Kitavo el eretz Canaan." You're going to come to the land of Canaan, to the land that you're going to inherit. So this is actually where Rashi stepped in and said his piece of, and I'm going to give you negat saras. So Rashi here comments, "Besura hilacha." This is actually a gift that you're going to get negayim on your house. L'fishit minu amurayim matmonios shel zahav bekirus batayim, because the amurayim hid into the walls their treasures. All those 40 years of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, because you're going to get these negayim, once you're going to get these stones, so therefore you're going to smash the house and you're going to take it. Now that's not pshat. I don't want to say it's not pshat. That's a problematic explanation. Why? Because we assume, and the Or HaChaim is going to speak about this, that we assume that it's not a good thing to get these tzaras on the walls of your house. What Rashi seems to be saying is that, oh yeah, when you get a tzaras on your arm or on your body or on your clothing, that's a bad thing. That's indicative of something that's bad. But if you get tzaras on your house, that's a good thing. Why is that considered a good thing? Because then you're going to smash it and you'll find the treasure, right? That seems to be what Rashi is saying. He doesn't seem to give any other pshat as to what's going on here. That's going on. Now, that is difficult, first of all, because we don't assume that way, as the Or HaChaim will point out, also because the terminology of tummy keeps being used, right? And there's this whole process that you go through, applying that there's going, all the other hints of doing tshuva at a time for, and time for some self-evaluation, all of that is here. So it doesn't seem like it is a good thing. So if that's the case, why is it that Rashi felt compelled in order to say that? Why did Rashi, what pushed Rashi, what did Rashi see in the Psukim to say, this is considered a good thing, and I'm going to give that as not just a pshat, but the only pshat in this pasuk. So the Sif Sichaim points out, "Dim lo kein kitiye mibayle mai vinasati." That what's good? What's that? It's kitavo el eretz Canaan vinasati negat saras. So he says, when you come to the land of Israel, and I'll give you tsaras. So it says, that sounds like it's a good thing. That sounds like when you get to the land of Israel, you'll merit to have this.
34 it says that?
Yes. Right, you'll merit to have this. So,
but it doesn't say merit, it says I'll give it to you.
It says, "I'll give it to you," right? But that seems to be a terminology of a reward. That's like considered a good thing. That's what drove Rashi to say this. So then the Sifsei Chaim continues on and comments, and I'm not really sure why. He says, "So I understand why what you're going to get out of the Begadim of houses, but what about the Negayim of Begadim? What are you going to get from that?" So he says, "Well, we don't know which clothing was used for Avodah Zarah and which ones weren't. So therefore, the Negayim are going to get you to burn the ones that were used for Avodah Zarah." That's what's going on there as well. Now, I don't know why the Sifsei Chaim felt compelled to say that. That's in the previous Parsha. And that's, we assume, is considered a bad thing. So I don't know why he did that. But anyways, That's what the Tzitzit Chaim explains as being the pshat in Rashi. The Rashi wants to tell you it's a good thing because it seems like the pasuk perhaps is indicating that it's a good thing. So how do others explain a pshat in that idea that when you're going to come to the land? So it says the Ramban, Kim Kol Yisrael Yidaber, Bahaya Roy Acharei Vaydaber Hashem Moshev Yaron, Shiur Dabru El Bnei Yisrael, Aval Yixar Hakasuv Kimuvan. That why the Ramban is actually bothered by something else. I'm sorry, the Ramban is bothered by why is it that this is being told to Moshe and Aaron and not to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So he says, well, maybe it was. Or he spoke to Moshe and Aaron when Bnei Yisrael was present. Or perhaps the idea was that this isn't really relevant to all the Jewish people. What do you mean it's not relevant to all the Jewish people? Well, it's not going to be relevant for another 40 years. So therefore he says, tell it over to the Kohanim. But you're not going to tell the Jews. You're only going to tell the Jews for when they get into the land of Israel. That's when they're going to need to know. Meaning if the Jews ask, hey, when was that whole discussion about all the different things about the houses, Moshe says, you're on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. That's the pshat that the Ramban seems to be giving. Now, that also is a little bit problematic. I mean, we're in Chutz La'aretz. We also don't need to know. So is there any value in learning? So we assume, yes, there is. So if there's a value in us learning about it, shouldn't there be a value in Bnei Yisrael learning about it? So, I don't know. It's a question that I have on this comment of the Ramban. Fine. But the...
You're saying that Hashem is speaking only to Moshe and Aaron?
That's what the Ramban is picking up on. Right. That it says, Vayder Hashem and Moshe Aaron Limor. He said, oh, when you get to the land. Now, Moshe and Aaron don't get to the land.
Right.
So that's his problem. Okay. The Or HaChaim now, however, takes on Rashi. When you come to the land, I'm going to give it to you. Ki b'shura hizu. This is considered like a gift. This is considered good tidings in order to have your house destroyed because of mold, or because of whatever it is appears on the walls. That it only says that you're going to have a nega on your house, just like it says you're going to have a nega on people. And he quotes the Medrash about this. But he quotes another Medrash as well. Am Rabbi Levi, Ein Bal Harachim Nogeya B'Nefashos Tchila. That no. This is, so Midrash A is saying that, oh, this is a good thing. That's one Midrash. I'll give you another Midrash. The Midrash says, in the name of Rabbi Levi, Ein Baal Rachamim Nogeya B'Nefashos Tchila, that God, who is all-merciful, doesn't put saras on people first. First he puts the goyim on the house, and then if he doesn't work on the house, then he puts it on their clothing, and then he puts it on people. So he's Baral Nachim, V'hulat Tzachi Hiktim Lomer Nigim Ne'adam, right? It's a precursor to having the goyim on a person. V'hu Hepech Ha'amor B'Baal Rachamim L'zeh Amar Mashek So then he asks, well, wait a second. If that's the case, so then the psukim should go in order as well. Meaning, if it really is that it comes to the house first, and if you don't get the message when it's on your house, so then it goes to the clothing. And if it doesn't, you don't get a message on the clothing, it goes to the person. So then, says the Or HaChaim, well, then the whole chumash is out of order, right? It should mention house first, followed by clothing, followed by people. Why is it that people come first, followed by clothing, followed by the house? So he says, well, the reason this is first is because Shadayim Lovatim Elaars, you haven't yet gotten to the land. Vein Batim Lin Goa Behem. And there's no houses. You don't have houses that could get the goyim on it, that could get saras on it. When you get to the land, as lo atena negav adam chila el benasati negav vay saras chil. Right, and when you get to the land, so then you're not going to be getting it on your skin first. Rather, you'll be getting it on your houses first. That's what the Or HaChaim says. So he is going back to that it's not a good thing. And he is going back to the why is it mentioned, but it's not as bad as the other thing. So why is it mentioned last? Well, it's not mentioned last because it's going to be the longest till that halacha is relevant. Now, if that's the case, how would you then explain for Rashi? I mean, Rashi's saying, well, it says in the Pasuk, it's a nice thing, right? You're going to come to the land of Israel, and these good things are going to happen. Well, so Or HaChaim says, no, it doesn't mean the good things are going to happen. All right, well, how do you account for the language that was bothering Rashi? So perhaps the Or HaChaim would say, when you come to the land of Israel, what do you get when you get to the land of Israel? You get a greater connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how is that demonstrated? The fact that you're able to see physical manifestations of Hashem. Hashem gives these direct messages to people. That's considered considered the good thing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the outcome is good. That, oh, now you're going to get a treasure, etc. Okay. Now,
does every house?
Yes, I was going to just about to think. Does every house get a treasure? So I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know the story, the whole story with the treasure. I've had mold in our house and haven't got any treasure yet. So,
Rashi is saying, like, if it's a punishment, then why is there a reward as part of it?
Well, Rashi's not saying that.
Yeah, you know, that's why he's saying it must be a good thing, because he's probably disturbed about the idea that if this is supposed to be some sort of punishment for lashon hara or whatever, then there wouldn't be a reward.
Yeah.
So how does the other commentator?
Yes. What do we do about that medrash?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, maybe we'll have to save that for later on. I don't know. I was hoping the Or HaChaim would take it on, but he doesn't.
He's yeah, what is it? Is it a reward? If it's a reward, then what's the reward for? For just being there.
I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll save it. I believe there is stuff to say, but we'll have to save it for most of the day. So, then he goes on and says, so then the Or HaChaim says, okay, fine. So I understand that you want to have the houses last because the house is not relevant while they're in the midbar. But then he says, okay, well, but you should at least put the other ones in order. Have nigei begadim, have the tzaras that appears on clothing before it appears on the skin, right? Because that's the order in that it takes place. So he explains that, well, v'nira ki bachar Hashem, so Hashem chose l'sader nigi begadim benigi adav benigi batim. Now, why did Hashem choose to put the tzaras having to do with clothing between the tzaras of a person and the tzaras of the house? L'tzad sheyesh b'hem dvarim sheyim shavim b'hem l'nigi adam v'yesh drang sheshavim l'nigi batim. He says there are things that are compared to both. Ki b'shir ha-tzaras shavim l'din nigi adam. That the size of the tzaras, that's comparable to the game of man, the gris, as opposed to the tzaras of a house, which is two grisai. Okay, uvegavnim shavim l'nigei batim. But there are ways that it's comparable to the house as well, in that it's yirakrak o adamdam, that it's green or red. Below begavim lavan shikanaga adam, as opposed to the whiteness that is the negayim of a person. Odnira, another idea. Bahir lama sidar kasadin nigei habeged kolim she hishlim kol dinei nigei bnei adam. Also, he asks, why is it that he puts in the laws of the negayim of a beged before he finishes the negayim of a person? I mean, the tuma and tara. I mean, it would make sense to have tuma and tara of the person, tuma and tara of begadim, then tuma and tara of the house. Why is it that he talks about the tuma of a person, followed by the tuma of the begadim, followed by the tara of the begadim, followed by the tara of the person? It's a, right? So elavadai shehira kasuv azeh shehikdim nega habeged kodem lenega adam, that it could have the nega of the beged before the person. Kodem amru zos tiyat toras hamitzor, before it says this is the laws of the mitzor. Shebo remes simon avon hatzaras ki lepiv anabo kama sheparasha betchila hafrasha kama negi begadim v'kavana so hi lomar shebegadim lokim techila. So that's what gives you the hint that begadim get dealt with first. The fact that the begadim, so clothing had to come after person because he wanted to make the connection of clothing to the house. The curing of clothing comes before the curing of a person because that's what gives you a hint that really the problems with clothing comes before the problems with a person. That's what he's saying here. And also it adds it also tells you that they all come because of the sin, and therefore it starts with Nigi Adam, and then comes Nigi Gadim to tell you that after these are done, this is the laws of Motzi Sherim, both of these are coming for the same thing. And then he goes on and says that I might have thought also that maybe you get it on your clothing because it's a low level prohibition. Maybe you get it on your clothing when you don't do something so bad, only something somewhat bad, and it gets put on a person when it gets much worse. That it's a worse sin. That it's perhaps it's reflective of the of the degree of how bad the action is that you did. So therefore, says Dor HaChaim, therefore it's kind of mixed in with one another to teach you that no, it's for the same level sin, but let them come first, followed by people. Okay? That's Or HaChaim number one. Another thing I wanted to mention is then Or HaChaim number two.
Oh, if you don't do tshuva with the first sign, then it gets more severe.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so then you remove everything that's in the house. Right? So you go and tell the Kohen says, all right, I'll be there at 3 o'clock. And then you clean everything else out of the house. So asks the Or HaChaim, I got a question. When does everything become tamei from the Kohen?
When he's finished.
When he's finished. So you suggest, so how about you have the Kohen? The Kohen could take a look. You can ask the Kohen, so, you think we should move everything out of the house? And the Kohen will say either yes or no. And then you can take everything out of the house. Right? Why do we have to take everything out before the Kohen comes when the Tumah only comes, when the Tumah only happens at the end of the Kohen's stay? You can tell me?
I just thought of it. Yes, because I hear my mind.
Okay, you get 12 seconds.
Okay. Because you don't want to influence his judgment. He may feel sorry for you.
Oh. Okay. Great. Yeah. That's not what Dor HaChaim says. Yeah. No, you may be right. I'm fine.
No, I just...
We have this high idea of the thought that counts in terms of, like, Pigel. And if you're interrupting his thought, his analysis, it might go awry.
Okay. Where did you learn about Pigel recently?
We're doing that in
Mishnayos. The Mishnayos. Oh, what Mishnayos are we learning? Svachim?
Svachim.
Ah, okay. So, okay. Pigel is really like a technical thing. It's not necessarily so here. Right? It could be that he finishes his analysis. Yeah, but it's not. Because the Kohen comes and sees it, and then he declares it to be Tameh.
Presumably he analyzes it.
Correct. But the declaration is what makes it tummy, not the moment that he realizes, oh, I'm gonna have to rule this tummy. I mean, it's different. Pigel is, it doesn't seem like his thought should have any impact here. So the Or HaChaim says that, well, you even take out the small pachim tanim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nervous about the small pachim, as he actually, Rashi himself already explained, because that's the only thing that actually becomes tameh. Remember, the metal things could all become tahor, and the food you can eat anyways, plus the guy's going to be tameh anyways, right? So the only thing that really would be lost would be the earthenware vessels, and yet the Hashem is still nervous about those things, and therefore he wants you to be careful about them. Who do we see? Who is the tzaddik that was very careful about pachim ketanim? Yaakov. Good. Right, that Yaakov went across the river, according to the Gemara, to get his pachim ketanim. According to the, somebody recall from Bereishis, according to the extremely shocking Rashbam, why did Yaakov cross the river? You remember?
Well, was afraid.
And? So he was afraid. Big deal.
He was running away.
He's running away. Yes. Very good. What? Yeah, okay. Mind blowing.
Yeah. No, because
it's not the way the play goes in third grade, right? Okay, anyways. So the Or HaChaim comments. So if as soon as the Kohen, the Kohen looks at this and says, I have something to say, but I'm not going to say it until you take everything out of the house. So then what's going to happen? The people are going to rush. People are going to rush to get everything out of the house. And when people are rushing to get everything out of the house, what do? They forget things. Yeah, they forget things. Exactly. Says the Or HaChaim, you make sure they take everything out because you want to make sure they remember things. And this way they get a second chance, right? The Kohen's going to look at this and say, so you sure everything's out of the house? And then you go and take one more look. You look under the beds, you look in the closet, that's the place where you hide the junk food, right? You'll look there as well, and then you'll remember to do everything another time. So Hashem, the Or HaChaim is saying, Hashem cares so much about everybody's little vessels that not only does he tell you to get rid of it before the Kohen comes, but he even is building into the plan that you had a two-step process, that you get rid of it, and then before the Kohen makes his ultimate declaration, you go back and take one more look in order to make sure That you got everything. One more line here from the Or HaChaim. This is the last Or HaChaim in the section. What are you complaining about?
What the neighbors say when they see your front yard.
That's part of the deal. Yes, that is part of the deal. I didn't know that. That's what I remember from Josh's and things. I didn't see it anywhere inside. That part of it is the embarrassment of seeing everything outside and the Kohen coming over. Yeah.
I don't know.
See, in Phoenix, they would just assume it was dump day. You know about dump day? Did I tell you about dump day? It's gewaldic. Once every 3 months, you had a dump day. You could put whatever you want in front of your house. And they would take it. So, and there was a schedule for the whole city, meaning everywhere in the city had 1 week. So you already the week before, you know, people are putting things out, and there's people that come roving around looking for goodies. Yes. Yes, I mean, within minutes, things get taken off. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, so says the Or HaChaim. Now, Vara Bekir Sabais, he's going to see the inside of the house. It's connected to the amazingness of Hashem. Ban hagaso im harishayim, what Hashem does with evil people. Asher yivcheru b'mat amei yitzahara, shu yikra nigi b'nei adam. That he is chosen, that where the yitzahara is attached to himself, which we call nigi b'nei adam, the tzaras of a person. Rambam Zohar says, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosein hanefesh b'guf ha'adam, matzlachas ma Tov. That Hashem puts, what's the idea of the house and the house coming back? That Hashem puts the neshama of people in a new being. Meaning the neshama will have two shots to prove himself. Just as you have two shots with the house time number one, and then you get rid of everything, and then you come back. So too with Russia. So you get rid of his body and everything, and we'll let him come back. Right on the page is the idea of Gilgal Neshamos. And if not, we'll take him away from there, and we'll put it someplace else. Okay.
Where is the Gilgal reference?
He connects the idea of the house is you take everything out of the house, and then you rebuild it. And then the tzaras comes back. So that's like a Gilgal neshama. The neshama leaves its body and then comes back.
That's a commentary.
It's Or HaChaim, yeah.
Or HaChaim.
Okay. We make one more ha'ara here. And that is the... we're going to go a little bit off the page, but it's connected to the page. The Biur Mitzvah Sarambam here makes a comment that he goes through what the mitzvah is. Saras batim kishnei grisim zevitzadzeh. It's like two grisim, one the side of another. Nimse rocha v'nega kama makom tzmicha sheish saros beguf. V'achu kishnei mesvei saros berova. Shloshes imani tume yish batim mari yarkuk v'adam zopishin, etc. So he said it has to be two grisim, and they have to be connected with one another, and he gives the exact size, and he gives that they have to be on two stones, and in fact connected coming off the two stones. So some may recall this. You guys, I don't know if we learned Parakan or Amora here. I guess not. But it comes up in other Gemaras that a Nigi Bat, the Gemara actually says that Nigi Bat never actually came to pass. It never actually happened. That there is the section where it discusses that Ben Sora Mora never came to pass. And then it says not only did Ben Sora Mora never come to pass, but also the Ir Nidachas never came to pass. The wayward child, right? The child who gets warned, he steals things, etc. And the parents have to warn him. And then if he goes back and does it again, so then he's going to be killed. So it says, So Ben Sora Mora never happened. So if so, why does the Torah learn it? So the Gemara says, Drosh v'kabel schar, in order to get a reward. Same thing with the Irni Dachas. The Irni Dachas is a city that has, that the majority of people serve Avodah Zarah, but yet it comments that you have to burn everything that's in the city. And the city obviously has, there's got to be a mezuzah someplace in the city, right? There might be more things, there's mezuzahs and more, but there's definitely a mezuzah someplace in there, right?
Right.
It's good product placement, okay? Very smooth. but there's going to be a mezuzah someplace in the... So therefore you can't burn all the stuff. So therefore nidachas isn't going to happen. And then he goes on and says, well, and they're also not going to have a bias hamenuga, lo haya, v'lo asit, there's never going to be, v'lama nichlev, if so, why do we have it? Toshu kabal schar, so why is that? Because the shita Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Shimon, the son Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Shimon Omer, the olam in habayis tamei, ad sheyera ek ishtey gris al shtey avan, has to be two grises on two stones, b'shteik salam b'keren zavis, on two walls of one corner. Right? So they got to come out of one corner on two different stones, exactly one size. Arko kishnei grisin v'rachbo kugris, the length of a tsaras and the width of one gris. Okay? Now, the problem with this, as everybody knows, right, we've heard that before, the idea that a ben sora mora never happened, etc., and aridach has never happened. So first of all, just so we know, full disclosure, in both of those cases, someone makes a comment that, oh, I once saw the kever of a ben sora mora. Another person comments, I once saw the mound of a nir nidachas. How could it possibly be? So I'm Rabbi Yonasan, ani re'isi v'yashafti al kivri. I saw ben sora mora, and I sat on his grave.
Whoa.
Now, there is a little bit of a halachic discussion here. Is that appropriate to sit on a grave? Right. But we'll leave that for another time. Same thing with the Ir Nidachas. I'm a Rabbi Yonasan, the same guy. Yanira Isia, he was apparently the same person who saw them in Sorah Mora, also comments, oh, I once saw Ir Nidachas and I sat on the rubble. You're saying it's suspicious?
It's the same guy.
That's the house that was...
No. That's the city.
That was the city that was
destroyed.
But it's
the same guy that saw two very rare events.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, okay.
It's called what do you call
him? He was a tourist.
Confirmation bias. Confirmation.
Okay, but anyways, then we get to this one. It's somebody else. Don't worry. And he says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik Makom Hayah B'Tchum Aza. There was a place in the boundary of Aza, in Gaza, right? V'Hayu Korin Oso Churvasa Sagirta, and they called it the ruins of the Tzaras house. And then Amar Rabbi Shimon Ish Kfar Akko, and then another old person, Rabbi Shimon Ish Kfar Akko, said, Pam Achas Alachti Galil, I once went up to the Galil, Varisi Makam Shemit Sainin Osov Amru, I saw the place where, the marking, where it said, Avanim Minugos Pinu Lashan, all Tzaras stones put here. Remember, we learned that you have to take it out of the city to the Makom Tameh, so they had to set aside Makom Tzaras place, right? Even with a sign on top of it. So it seems like it was, I don't know, I say regular occurrence, but at least it happened. Now, okay, so whatever. So that seems like it's a machlokas. Now, there is a bit of a problem. Number one is, do we paskin like this revelation? Why does he think it's so strange? Why do you think it's so difficult? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be in a very unique position, right? It's very difficult to have it that exact position. How could it possibly be that it's exact position? So first of all, do we paskin like him? So it happens to be that he's one of four shitos in the Mishnah in Negayim. Do we paskin like him? Well, the Rambam does. The Rambam does paskin like him. Why is the Rambam paskin like him? I don't know. Maybe I'll have to say that for Halacha Day. I'm not sure. But the Rambam does paskin like him. But I have a bigger issue. Why does that mean that it's not going to happen? Now, I'm going to leave this as a question. Unless somebody has an easy answer. I mean, why is it that the Mansur Mor never happens? Because what kid is crazy enough to go ahead and do that kind of thing? Right? There's so many unique halachos that you have to actually learn the sugya very well in order to violate the din. Right? So nobody's going to do that. I understand why that's not going to happen. Ir Nidachas as well. First of all, the majority of the city does avodah zarah in its own right is very difficult to gather. But I understand there's a mezuzah. I mean, there's a technical, physical problem with it happening. But if we assume that Tzaras is an entire supernatural, you see where I'm going, Sam? Right? If Tzaras is a supernatural thing, whatever that means, supernatural, that's Hashem puts it down as a message to you. So why is it any more difficult for Hashem to put it in specific gris by gris dimensions than it is to put it anywhere else in the house? I don't know. So two questions. Number one is, why do we paskin that way? I'm not sure why the Rambam decides to paskin that way. Second of all, isn't the fact that if you assume that the reason why it never happens is because that's the way he paskins, but yet we have two edim, two testimonies about other places where it happens, shouldn't that be an indicator that we don't paskin that way, but yet the Rambam seems to paskin that way anyways? And despite all that, why should a physical manifestation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world be constrained to, well, it's a very difficult, very difficult pattern. I'm not sure God is going to be able to paint it very well, right? It's a very difficult idea to have. So how to resolve the question on this Gemara? Hopefully we'll do that next week. Guten Shabbos.